The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee Lennox at the Stockbridge, watching us on the PCTV Select app and possibly on Channel 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It is Thursday, March 26th, 7:31 in the morning, and glad to have you here on the radio show live here in our studio on Federico Drive. Looking forward to a great conversation this morning. It's baseball opening day, everybody. Well, kind of. I mean, we had a baseball game last night, right? Major League Baseball kind of opened last night. But we have opening day today, and who better to talk about that than Berkshire Eagles sports reporter Howard Herman. He'll be on the program this morning as my guest for the whole hour. We'll talk about that and the NCAA tournament, both the men's and the ladies. We'll jump around a little bit, talk about my favorite college team, Syracuse, and what just happened last week to their coaching staff. Some fun stuff we've got coming up for you in the program this morning. Looking forward to it. Here we go. Let's do our weather forecast from the National Weather Service here and find out what's in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and snow. Night is cool. Near steady temperature in the upper 30s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 20%. Thursday, partly sunny. A chance of rain in the afternoon. Night is cool with highs in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Thursday night, rain. Lows in the lower 30s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yes, I think you heard that right. Lower 60s today. My goodness. For March 26th. Well, you know, it's going to be up and down. I think we're going to get some cold and some warm. Nothing like the warm that they're getting out in the West right now. They're hitting some all-time records out there for the month of March. Actually, some of the highs they're hitting would be high temperatures for the month of April, from what I understand, in some of those areas. So we're not getting any of that here, but we are going to hit the lower 60s today, and then we're going to pay for it a little later in the form of some rain. And it is March, and we're starting to get into that rainy season for sure. All right, welcome again to the program, Morning Drive here, and Howard Herman joins me now. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning, Sean. Long time no see.
I know. It has been a while, actually.
It has been a while, but can months. I, before we do anything else,
yes,
want to tip a hat to the staff and management at WTBR for the job it did covering the last couple of high school basketball games.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because, as I've written before, once upon a time, back when I was in radio here, every radio station broadcast high school basketball, football games, and hockey games. And, you know, there would be nights when there would be four broadcast crews from Berkshire County at certain games.
Right.
But now there's, you know, you guys do a couple of games.
Yep.
Most of your broadcasting is done on television, which is also nice, but it would be nice to have radio.
Yeah.
And WSBS in Great Barrington does basketball.
Yep. It's kind of a lost art.
Other than that, nobody else here does it, and it's a shame.
Yeah. It's, you know, economically not feasible for a lot of the radio stations who have gone to different models these days in terms of how they run their stations. They're on a real thin line, and they're barely staying in business.
You know, it's funny because everybody is kind of in that boat to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And it just all depends, you know. You can make a case that most newspapers are in similar boats.
Absolutely.
But newspapers in communities like ours, like in Albany, like in Northampton, you know, still put a premium on what happens locally.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's a good business model, to be honest with you, to do local stories, because where else are you going to hear that? You know, newspapers and community radio stations like ours. I think it's important.
I do. And this is not to say that the commercial radio stations in this area don't do a good job.
No.
But I think they missed the boat on not doing more of that.
Mm-hmm. They've refocused and gone in different areas to serve the market, and that is no longer apparently a priority. I think that seems apparent to me. Certainly the MIAA and the way that they run things allows PCTV to do video of games up to a point, especially in the state tournament. And you get to those last two rounds, they do not allow, they have another company, this NFHS network.
Which does this for high school sports in, I don't know if it's every state.
Quite a few.
But it's certainly, if not a majority, a decided plurality.
So they're contracted to do it. Obviously, they're paid to do it, which means that they're making money on it. And when they require a subscription or a payment to watch the game, PCTV never does that. So any programming, any sports programming that you see live or recorded on PCTV, there's no gateway to have to pay for that content. So when it comes to those last couple games, the NFHS network takes priority. We would only be able to record the game for the on video and play it 48 hours later. By then, nobody really wants to see it. So we take the option to go live on WTBR.
And I think
that's fun, too.
And I think for 48 hours later, people would want to see it, especially like if, you know, a team wins a game, a big game.
Yeah.
But having said that, that's a decision that you all make. But having WTBR as your fallback,
right,
you know, is nice. I don't know if it's possible, and I'm throwing this out there. I think we've discussed this before off the air. Maybe, you know, if you could, you know, simulcast, you know, some of the television stuff on the radio at night. And I know that requires to have more bodies in here to push buttons, but maybe that's something you could look at.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely possibilities. And there are certain games that we would definitely entertain that for, you know, for sure. The community radio station here also has a strong following, and people have regular shows. So we try not to disturb that too much every once in a while. If you got a big game, certainly it makes sense to change the schedule and bring that on. So, yeah, we're happy to do that. And it's fun. And it's we're so glad that we're, you know, privileged to be able to have a platform to be able to put that on and bring those games. We had dozens and dozens of people listening to those radio broadcasts on the stream. I have no idea how many people were listening on the FM dial, because we don't get that number, but we can look and see, you know, how many people watched or listened to the web stream. And it was dozens of people, which is great.
And it, you know, and like I said, and you know, and you all deserve a tip of the cap for it, because There's not a lot of it, and I don't know if anecdotally you might have been on the Sunday of the state championship game the only radio station in the Songus Center covering a game live.
That's possible. And, you know, technology has made it so much easier to do that, too. The internet, as long as you can get access to the internet in some of these facilities, which can be a challenge sometimes.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, indeed.
Just the fact that you can get your signal out easy. You know, back in the days of radio, you had to make sure you had working telephone lines.
You
right?
mean back in the day when you had the telephones with the white button on the top where you had to pull it up? To cancel out the phone mic so you could broadcast the game live, and it still sounded like you were doing a game on a telephone.
Yeah, people will have no idea, right? What it took to get that done.
Oh, we could spend the whole morning, and I could tell you stories from my broadcast career of games where we didn't get on, and all of that.
And it's not like you have this whole team with you, this big, you know, technical team and a truck and, you know, all, you know, people imagine this, what it takes to do. And usually you're just a lone wolf out there. You're just trying
one
to
or
get
two,
it to
one
work.
Or two, one or two of us.
Yeah.
Very quickly, one of my favorite stories of all time. It was before I moved up here. And I was the color broadcaster on our radio station in upstate New York, in the Hudson Valley. Hmm. We were the radio station that covered Army basketball.
Okay.
And we're down, and Army's playing LSU at Madison Square Garden.
Hmm.
First game of a doubleheader. And Iona, this is back when the late Jim Valvano had them as a powerhouse. And they were the second game.
Hmm.
And my broadcast partner and I were tremendous. It was a great game. Actually, the Cadets almost beat LSU. It was a great broadcast. We find out later that we weren't even on the air because somebody had shot a BB or a pellet gun, had taken out a transformer in front of our studios in Beacon, New York, and there was no power.
So the station wasn't even on the air.
The station wasn't even on the air.
You did the best call of your life.
And there was no, well, up until that point, yes.
To that point. Yep, that's Murphy's Law in broadcasting, right? It's just always there. You never know. It's just going to happen. So let's talk about baseball. I've got my red sweater on this morning for Red Sox opening day.
I thought it was for Cincinnati Reds opening day.
No. Well,
by the way, and as we talk about that, there was a game last night that nobody could watch because it will. You could watch it if you streamed.
Well, let's talk about that. That's new, right?
It's on
Netflix.
As every sport is doing more and more streaming.
Mm-hmm.
I am of mixed feelings about that. Philosophically, I hate it.
Mm.
We don't stream.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have Netflix. So
no, I don't
see
do
the
any
game.
Of that.
Yep.
At some point, maybe I will.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, you know, as bad as it is, the complaint is, why do we have to? But then it goes to the complaint of our team doesn't spend enough money. These contracts with these streamers bring money into these Major League Baseball teams that enable some of them to spend more money on players. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. And I don't think it's the wave of the future. I really don't, because what I think is eventually going to happen, and it feels like it's happening more and more, is that broadcast networks are pretty much just going to be sports channels.
Mm.
Because if you pay attention to ratings, and I know you do, many of our listeners may not, the highest rated broadcast television shows every year are sports events.
Yeah. Yeah, usually the top 25 of them are all NFL games or NCAA basketball playoffs.
I mean, the Super Bowl is always the number one rated broadcast television production of the year.
Right.
Without fail, and nobody is second.
Yep.
It's like, you know, it was like, you know, the ratings for the Super Bowl is like Secretariat at the Belmont. You know, with, you know, winning by 20 lengths.
Right. But all the rest of them are some sort of live sports event.
And it just feels to me like more and more of that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That I would not be opposed to that, as long as, you know, as long as NBC keeps Thursday night for Law and Order. You know,
is Law and Order still on?
All the Law and Orders are still on. Well, most of them are still on. The 8 o'clock it's the Mothership, and then it's SVU at 9 o'clock, and then they run the third one that was originally just designed to be on Peacock on their streaming service, but then they go and show it on broadcast television like a year later.
But, well, of course, this is a wider discussion, too, about where all the programming and the eyeballs are going, right? And it's being forced. I mean, obviously, all of the leagues are dipping their toes into this of saying, okay, well, we're not moving all of our sports to streaming, but there's going to be some key games. You know, NFL has certainly done the Christmas Day on Netflix, right? Some games are playoff games are only on Peacock, for example.
Yeah, very few. Most of the playoff games stay, you know, other than like the very wild, wildish wild card games in any sport,
right,
are all on cable or broadcast.
Right. And for now.
Yeah, for now. And I don't think that's going to change a lot, because that's where you get your critical mass of eyeballs. And that's where, you know, you make more money in advertising, you know, during the playoffs.
Right.
And that's where you want, you know, people to be on, to be watching on NBC or on ABC or on Fox or whatever, or on one of the ESPN networks. But I think more and more regular season games that were on networks will migrate to the Netflix, to the Apple Pluses, to the Peacocks.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, the new contract that NBC signed with the NBA.
Right.
And can we just suggest that, I miss watching games on the Turner channels, because I think they did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA broadcasts on NBC are first rate.
Hmm. As you would expect they would be, right?
Yeah.
They would never take it over and do less of a job.
No, but they do a great job. You know, they've got, you know, they brought John Tesh back. And I believe, I could be wrong, I didn't watch the opener, but I think he actually performed Round Ball Rock live.
I think I did hear that.
Lead into the first game.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because that goes back to NBC's first stint with the NBA, which was at the height of the Michael Jordan era.
Right, in the 80s and 90s.
And the early to mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who watched basketball then, it's not only is it good to watch them now, but it's a bit of a nostalgia trip.
Yeah. But don't you think also that the leagues are risking something by fragmenting the audience across different platforms like that? Because here we've got, you know, you got the golden goose, essentially. You've got the NFL, where everybody camps out on a Sunday. They watch all these games. You know, they do pay for the Red Zone channel and the Sunday ticket and things like that if you're really big fans. But if you're just a casual fan, which I assume the NFL would like to maintain and bring in more and maybe bring to develop new audiences, don't you just want that content to be available to them to find and not have to sort of search for or pay for separately? And by fragmenting it, aren't you just sort of saying, okay, well, it's not that important. If it's going to be in five different places, I'll watch it when it's available, but I don't really care that much.
You know, you would think that, and I suspect that if you are the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball, that is the case.
Mm.
It has not seemed, and I don't know, I don't have stats in front of me, but anecdotally, things I read seem to indicate that if you are a fan of your NFL team or the NFL writ large, you will seek this out because, you know, you use the term the golden goose.
Yeah.
The NFL is the golden goose.
Yeah.
The NFL seemingly with its broadcast stuff can do no wrong. Even if they decided to, you know, put games on PCTV.
We're in contract negotiations right now, by the way. We can't talk about that.
People here would find them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and that's different than the other sports. You know, because, you know, baseball may still be considered the national pastime. I consider it that. Football, I consider America's obsession.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are obsessed with a sport, you find it. And I think that's been the case with the NFL. I believe those Christmas games rated very highly.
Sure.
You know, on the streaming services. Yep.
Which is just going to give them more ammunition to do it more.
Yes. I don't think
it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It will be to a certain extent, but Christmas is different. You know, like, I would almost anticipate that at some point the next thing to go streaming would be Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's such an historic day for broadcast television.
Yeah.
And I know, and I believe there's still a streaming game at night.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Yeah, even though
it's
there's
the first two that, that are still on broadcast.
And I think, yeah, because I think NBC put the third one on Peacock.
Right.
But
so chip. That's
chip. Most of it still. Most of it still stays, you know, you know, for those of us who, you know, who are on the lawn yelling at the clouds, most of it's still there. But yeah, it will, it will chip away. And at some point, 10, 20 years from now, maybe it all changes because all the other things change. It's something we've talked about here before. You know, there's no difference in what we do in, you know, at the Eagle than what we did 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different at what, you know, what everybody, you know, but it, the delivery system is changing, is
sure.
what's changing. It's not what anybody is doing, you know, per se, you know, radio is still radio.
Right.
Even though a lot of people, you know, get it on Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still radio, or, you know, you're listening on cable, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, cable now, you know, is what, when I was a kid, what four broadcast channels were,
mm-hmm.
you know, without, you know, when
right.
I was the clicker, you know, I was the channel changer,
right.
you know, and all that. But things, you know, it's what's done hasn't changed. It's just delivery systems have.
And, you know, there have been similar complaints, let's say, about when NFL games went to Fox stations back in the late 80s and 90s when they got the contract. I think they stole it away from CBS at one point. And there were complaints that, hey, not everybody in the country gets a Fox station at that time. That was true. And so there were complaints about that. And then Monday Night Football going to ESPN instead of on ABC. So now it's going to a cable, which means you have to essentially pay for a cable subscription to see those games, right? And that was another big uproar.
And now, ironically enough, over the last 20 or 25 years, ESPN is now part of ABC and Disney.
Yes.
And those games are on ABC again.
Yes, they are.
You know, you know. You know, it's
what
like
old is new again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and it's interesting, you know, and that's true. You know, and you still get some Fox complaints.
Mm-hmm.
We get them here the doggone time.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many people used to call us, you know, and say, how come we'd get notes in our emails about how come we can't see the Patriots?
Yeah. There's usually two games a year at least that you can't see.
Not necessarily. Some years you can. Some
yeah, sometimes there have more.
There have been years where you don't lose any.
Right. That can happen.
Because mm-hmm. I can remember a couple times when the Patriots were really good. You know, most of their games that you might lose ended up on ESPN or NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have to worry. And what we're talking about is the fact that that on the cable systems in Berkshire County, and I believe I'm right about this. I only really know Pittsfield because that's where I live. There are two CBS affiliates and one Fox affiliate. And the Fox affiliate is out of New York, is out of Albany.
Yep.
And their first choices are the Giants.
Always the Giants.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yep. Or if any of the other ones are playing, you know, depending on the rules, which are
the Bills,
crazy
the
rules.
Bills, the yeah. Bills, the Jets.
Yeah.
So
they'll always pick the New York team.
Yeah. So the Patriots sometimes will be on Fox when they are at home playing, say, the Atlanta Falcons.
And people don't realize it's the affiliate that gets to choose that game.
Yeah. And sometimes. And yeah. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, because it's the game that's assigned to you.
Well, unless it's a national game, if it's CBS or if it's Fox, they basically do get to choose a game.
To a certain extent.
But most of the time, it's going to be based on what they think they're going to pull in for ratings.
What's become really interesting in television now with the NFL is that up until last year, it was always the NFC games were on Fox, mm-hmm. and the AFC games were on CBS.
Right.
Now that's not the case.
Now they mix it up a little bit
They've
more.
Mixed it up a lot more because, you know, everybody's paying more, and they want the these bigger games for
right.
bigger ratings and, you know, and a bigger return on their investment and their advertisers' investments.
Right.
So in the future, maybe one or two of those Patriot games that didn't used to get seen might get seen because even though the Green Bay Packers are in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon, it might end up being a CBS game, mm-hmm. even though it would 5 years ago been a Fox game that
yeah.
you probably wouldn't have seen.
And, you know, I think it's interesting, too, because we started this conversation, Howard Herman, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, by the way, talking about where, you know, the streaming services are picking up the games in a more increasing manner, and it's harder to find the game you want to watch, and it's more fragmented, it's not predictable as it used to be. And just the idea that, I'm hearing less complaints, I think, now about those games that can't be seen on Fox. And I thought about it, and I'm like, well, why am I hearing fewer complaints? And I think it's because more people are not relying on the broadcast feeds anymore to watch their games. If they're real football fans, they're going to go to YouTube TV. They're going to pay for Sunday Ticket. They're going to pay for Red Zone Channel, whatever. And they don't care anymore what's on broadcast. And that's the real challenge, I think, for the television broadcasters in general. And that's where the decline is going to start coming in, because people, after a while, if it really matters to them, they're going to go find the best solution for it, and they're going to stick with it.
They will,
and they're going to pay for it.
They will do that, but of course, the only counter to that real argument is that the two broadcast channels are the ones doing the broadcast. And even if you're finding it on YouTube,
yeah.
you know, it's still the CBS broadcast or the Fox broadcast or the NBC broadcast.
Right.
It's still what they're doing. So in that sense, the networks aren't losing as much money because they're still getting, you know, even if they're on streaming, you're still seeing their commercials.
Yeah. And of course, now there's rumors that the NFL is going to renegotiate some of those contracts with the networks earlier than they were expecting, right? I think originally it was supposed to go to 2031 or something, and then the NFL said, well, you know, we think we might come back to you earlier than that, reopen this, and talk about what our terms are. And that can only mean one thing. They're going to give more to the streamers.
Well, it means two things. That's the least of the problem.
Mm.
The bigger problem from what some things I've seen recently is that the other sports are going to take a big hit, because everybody knows the NFL is the is Goliath.
Right.
And all the other Davids may not get nearly. I read that the PGA Tour is really concerned about this.
Interesting.
That they're not going to get as much money for their golf tournaments, or the networks involved aren't going to care. You know, they're going to say, you know, we're spending all our money on the NFL. Thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good luck to you.
Yep.
That's probably in the short term the bigger issue when it comes to the NFL. And the other thing,
well, the money's got to come from somewhere too. And traditionally, the money for those big contracts of all various sports leagues came from the cable bundle. It came from grandma paying for all the cable channels. I hate to say it that way, but that is the case. And paying for ESPN when grandma never watches ESPN. But everybody paid for cable, and the money was there, and the contracts could be made.
ESPN's still lucky because it is still ESPN,
sure.
and it still runs sports, and sports is as we said before, is primarily the only live programming that really draws eyeballs to televisions.
So you have 50% less people buying cable now.
Although you are getting ESPN elsewhere.
Yes, and you'd have to pay for it.
And you have to pay for it if you're getting it on YouTube TV, or if you're getting it on your satellite dish, or however you are getting it.
Right.
ESPN's still getting that money.
Yep.
So, you know, you don't. We do not, and we don't have, we will not have to have a car wash, you know, to help ESPN pay for, anything.
However, the PCTV car wash will be scheduled next month.
Yeah, as long as the weather's nice.
That's right. Howard Herman, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, reaching that top of the hour break that we're actually, I think we'll do that now because we've still got some stuff. We started talking about baseball and then took this detour into broadcast, which is always fascinating to me, and I hope our listeners also find it fascinating. When they're trying to watch their games, all this stuff matters, and I really do sympathize with people trying to figure it out, and I get people and my relatives calling me, where is this game today? How come I can't watch this? And I really try to help them manage it. And it's just, it's tough. It's tough for me. It's only going to get tougher. So we'll talk about that, but we'll go on to baseball's opening day, the Red Sox, and how spring training went for them. We'll talk about the NCAA, both the men's and ladies. I do want to ask you about Syracuse's coaching decisions. Howard, that's just a I'm going to ask you about Syracuse. And I also want to ask you about CBS Radio News. I know it's something probably you'll be interested in talking about. We'll come back and talk about all of that in just a moment here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at BerkshireCC and from the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington. Presenting 90s rock band Better Than Ezra this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. with opening act 9 days. Get your tickets at mahawi.org. Again, that's mahawi.org.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
You're hearing the stories of our countywide housing challenges all the time. Housing the Berkshires, a coalition of change, is a growing group of community stakeholders, municipal leaders, and friends just like you who want to create a positive impact on housing needs in the Berkshires. Join us in our commitment to making lasting changes in our housing landscape. We are good neighbors, creative innovators, committed partners, and determined navigators. To join us, visit BerkshireHousing.com today.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBR-FM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound, just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw, every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show, 8:03 in the morning on Thursday, March 26th, and we're on Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, WSBR 88.1, Lee Lennox in Stockbridge, and on the PCTV Select app and on Channel 1301, Access Pittsfield. Glad to have you along for the show this morning. Howard Herman, my guest this morning on the show, Berkshire Eagles sports reporter, and everything sports today, and a little bit of broadcast and radio things tossed in there as well. We'll get right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, one more listen to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and snow. Night is cool. Near steady temperature in the upper 30s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 20%. Thursday, partly sunny. A chance of rain in the afternoon. Night is cool with highs in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Thursday night, rain. Lows in the lower 30s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. And a little bit of warm weather today coming on the heels then with some rain tonight. And I heard some kind of big bursts of rain potentially as well. So we're going to maybe get a soaking out there, but we could use it. And at some point we'll have some green grass growing out there. April is right around the corner from today. It's only the 26th of March. Right now. All right. Howard Herman, thanks again for being here this morning. NCAA tournament. We're down to the Sweet 16. If anyone hadn't been watching and listening, obviously last weekend was the big rounds of 64-32 with the games playing all the time. Now we're down to eight games today and tomorrow, getting the Sweet 16 down to the Elite Eight. And from what I'm looking at here on the screen, I'm seeing a lot of ones, twos, threes, and fours on the screen. I don't see a lot of what we would call Cinderellas this year. I see a number 11, Texas, and Texas never sounds like a Cinderella to me. I see a number 9, Iowa, playing. Everything else looks pretty chalk to me.
Everything is chalk, and I think that's the future of the NCAA tournament, and that's more because of the rapid movement of players.
Mm-hmm.
The
transfer portal.
Yeah, the transfer portal and the money that players get and all that.
Yep.
It used to be when you signed at, the University at Albany, you were there for 4 years.
Yeah.
Or 5 years.
You got recruited by your coach.
And you stayed, and that team got better every year or something, and then made the tournament and maybe made a run.
Yeah.
Now, if you're at one of those so-called mid-majors, unless you're there, unless it's your school from growing up and maybe your dad's the coach, you're off. You tend to get recruited again at the end of a particular season. And I think that is what's causing the lack of Cinderellas, so to speak, in this round. Although, if you think about it, by the time you get to the Sweet 16, it's already struck midnight for the vast majority of Cinderellas, historically. there might be one.
The pumpkin has left the building.
There might be one in a given year who sneaks through to the Sweet 16, but it's usually, but those Cinderellas usually make all their noise in the first and second rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And anecdotally, I think Cinderella does most of her dancing on Thursday, on the first day of the tournament.
Yeah.
Because it always feels like Friday, the second day of the tournament, none of those really, low seeds, like the 13 or 14 win games.
Mm.
Usually you see that happen on day one. And I think part of that is because, you'll see a 13 beat a 4, whatever. And
those are always fun.
Those are always fun. But going into Friday's first round games, the coaches of those four and five seeds say, see what just happened? Don't let that happen to us.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, anecdotally, it seems like there are far fewer upsets in the second day of the tournament than there are in the first day of the tournament.
Yeah.
Or games where, like when, 16 seed Siena almost beat 1 seed Duke,
That was quite the game.
That was a really good game.
Hats off to Jerry McNamara for 2 years into Siena being able to take on Duke in that game and being up as much as they were at halftime and really only, losing by 6?
Yeah.
Not bad for Duke.
No, it's not bad. And It's a thing where teams in that in the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, or whatever they're going to call it next year, are teams that like to shoot the three and teams that like to score like that. And those nowadays are the teams that pull upsets against power teams, because certainly if, using Siena as an example, if their game was designed to feed big guys down in the low post, they're not beating Duke. They're not getting close to Duke because Duke's players are that much better. But if you give teams like that a little bit of room on the outside, they're going to hit 3-point shots, and mathematically, as we all know, threes are better than twos, and they're going to be in games.
What about the coach? Because, we're talking about the transfer portal, NIL, all the factors that are changing college basketball, college sports in general. But then you look at somebody like a Rick Pitino at St. John's. So St. John's hadn't been really a player in the tournament for a number of years, decade more. Suddenly now he's back at St. John's, never at St. John's before, but obviously a long, storied career as a great coach. I mean, I don't think you could argue the fact that Rick Pitino is one of the all-time best coaches. And when you put him in a situation, he wins your program games. Will you still have players want to come? Are they attracted to come play for a coach the way they used to be?
I think so. They may not come there initially as freshmen, and Pitino has said on multiple occasions that he doesn't recruit. He won't recruit high school kids anymore. He goes after kids in the transfer portal.
Yep, because that's the new game.
But right? I think for sure, if you want to be really good and you want to cut down a net, you want to go where these guys are. And Pitino has shown that he can win championships at multiple locations, except in Boston. But that's a whole other story. While Walter Berry and Chris Mullin aren't walking through that door, in Queens, he's got a really good team. And I saw them play I was in New York for the Big East tournament. And I saw them play and win their first game quite easily. And I wouldn't. They're not a one seed, but I wouldn't be shocked if they showed up in Indianapolis next weekend.
So they have to get through Duke first. It looks like tomorrow is their game, 7:10 p.m. St. John's versus Duke, the number one seed, the number one overall in the tournament. It looks like today's games are 11 Texas versus 2 Purdue. You got number 9 Iowa versus 4 Nebraska. Nebraska never having won any tournament games up until this year, right, for their basketball team, which is kind of a cool story. Number 4 Arkansas against number 1 Arizona, and then number 3 Illinois versus number 2 Houston. Looks like those are our matchups for today.
They are, and the game that I'm most interested in watching would be the Nebraska-Iowa game. Because these are two older school kind of teams. Fred Hoiberg, Ben McCollum, really solid coaches. Hoiberg has done nothing but win wherever he's been. I mean, he made Iowa State into a basketball school again. And McCollum had big shoes to fill. He's coming in replacing Fran McCaffrey, who did a great job at Iowa, even though he couldn't get past the first week. He never got past the first weekend there. So that's going to be a really interesting game. And the other game that could be particularly interesting to watch would be Houston-Illinois.
Okay.
Because Houston's one of those nouveau riche teams now. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. Brad Underwood at Illinois is a pretty good coach. And Brad Underwood is my favorite coach on the first night because they asked him about, as we all know, the Big Ten travels because of the new conference,
right.
When you've got UCLA and USC in your Big Ten, which has primarily been a Midwest conference. He said, what do you mean? We hop on an airplane. They fly us there. We stay in really nice hotels. We play a game, we go home. What's the problem? You know, because there have been some coaches, the California coaches, complained about traveling to the Midwest.
Sure.
I'm looking at you, Mick Cronin. But, you know, he said, you know, he, that's why he became one of my, he said, it's, we're playing a game and, you know, and we're treated like kings.
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
And then tomorrow's games, I mentioned the St. John's versus Duke, but also you've got Alabama, number 4 seed versus 1 Michigan. You got Michigan State up against UConn, number 2 seed there. And then you got 6 Tennessee against Iowa State at the number 2 seed as well. So 8 pretty good games, it looks like,
to
watch over the next couple days.
And the games on Friday are interesting because when you look at, you know, at, you know, you've got Patino at St. John's, mm-hmm. you've got Tom Izzo at Michigan State, mm-hmm. and you've got Rick Barnes at Tennessee.
Yeah.
All, you know, the conventional wisdom has been the last couple years, you got to find young coaches. No, you don't. You know, Patino's 72, I think.
Yeah,
although, you know,
there.
He's the youngest looking 72 I've ever seen. And by the way,
I think it's the suit.
Can we get more coaches wearing suits again?
Fewer hoodies and more suits.
Yeah, let's just do that again. Mm-hmm. But you know, you've got veteran coaches, and even on Thursday night, you know. You know, John Calipari's not that age, but he's been around for a long time, yeah. and that game against Arizona mm-hmm. is, you know, Tommy Lloyd's a young coach, John Calipari's a veteran coach.
Yep.
Cal's been doing this for an awful long time, so you know that's another one to watch.
Should be fun, lots to watch, and then on the ladies' side, we have the Sweet 16 starting tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow and Saturday are the games for the ladies. And, of course, UConn always in the mix, right?
And they're the
one seed overall, I assume.
They're the team to beat.
Yeah. And South Carolina being another one.
To me, it's UConn versus the field, as far as I'm concerned right now.
Yeah.
They've just been that good. Mm. You know, Gino Auriemma, mm-hmm. you know, is the best coach currently going in women's basketball, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem like they, even when they have a bad year, it's a good year.
Yeah. Well, they're still a number one seed, and then LSU, I think, also having a good year this year on the ladies' side.
They are, you know, and you know, I think everybody wants to have, you know. It's ultimately a player's game, but I think everybody would want to see, you know, in that final game, at, you know, at the championship, Gino Auriemma against Kim Mulkey. You know, mm-hmm. we can just skip to that.
Makes for good TV, certainly.
It will indeed.
You've got some other games, Notre Dame in the mix, UCLA, a number one seed, Michigan versus Louisville, South Carolina versus Oklahoma. A number one seed, Texas versus Kentucky. So all of those in the mix. So again, if you're into NCAA basketball, men's or ladies, you got several days of sitting on the couch and watching some pretty good games.
As long as all the, you know, the pizza places stay open so you can all get dinner, it's all good.
All good. Howard Herman, my guest here this morning, talking the NCAA tournament, opening day of baseball, and all kinds of other things here on the show.
And a quick NCAA tournament story. As we all know now, in both tournaments, you can watch every game. The women's tournament is all over every ESPN channel when their games are on. So
right.
You go ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU,
yep.
and ABC. Games are everywhere. Mm. Of course, the CBS contract with Turner. And now they're all under the same, you know,
yeah,
the same banner. They may be under the same banner shortly because,
shortly.
You know, because if the Ellisons, you know, buy Warner Brothers, they'll have Turner and they'll have that all together. And obviously those are the two best things that have ever happened to college basketball, that all those games are on. But back years ago, it used to be, as I'm sure you remember, you know, CBS would pick a game in your region,
mm-hmm.
to show, you know, in every time slot.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have a choice.
Right.
But
and you'd read about it the rest of the games.
Yeah, and they might do drop-ins.
Yeah.
But what CBS used to do is invite media reporters to their headquarters at Black Rock in New York. Hmm. And I used to go to the first day of the tournament, and they had a room where they had, you know, lots of food, and they had all these tables set up with small-ish monitors. Hmm. And you could sit down, put on headphones, and flip between all the games sitting at the at the room at CBS. And I would go down there and watch, you know, like, six different games before I had to catch my train and go home.
And you probably thought to yourself, gee, if we could just get this at home.
Exactly.
Right?
And now we have it. And now we do.
Yeah. And so you do have to skip around a little bit on your cable dial, if you still have cable, to watch the men's tournament, because a lot of them are on CBS, but then they end up on TBS, TNT, and True TV. I think those are the three other cable channels.
And now True TV is easy enough to find. Yeah.
You know, you just go onto a Paramount app or something. And,
yeah, you can watch them all. You can all watch them on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
You know, and all of that. But you know, CBS treats the tournament, you know, as its, you know, crown jewel mm-hmm. event, mm-hmm. which it does. The only complaint I have about CBS are the studio shows. And they're not bad, and I think Nate Burleson, who is one of the hosts, is getting a lot of unfortunate criticism because those guys are traffic cops.
Yeah.
And I think he's done a pretty good job as a traffic cop.
I think he's developed pretty well.
He's a traffic cop. He's a traffic cop on CBS in the morning on their news show, and he also is the host of CBS's Hollywood Squares, mm-hmm. and he's an analyst on the NFL stuff. He's former NFL wide receiver. Hmm. And I'm one of the few people, maybe not few people, but I love Charles Barkley doing the NFL, doing college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't?
He doesn't know players, granted, you know, but he knows basketball, and he watches the games, and he can see what's going on there.
He's a larger-than-life personality. You like listening to him.
He is, and I didn't watch much of the game on True TV that he and Dick Vitale did together, because ESPN let Vitale do an NCAA tournament game for CBS.
Okay,
and apparently it went off the rails in a hurry, but in a good way, because it's still Barkley and Vitale, mm-hmm. you know, and they were just talking to each other the whole night.
Yeah,
and you don't necessarily need a play by you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the stories were probably just as good as anything else.
So much good stuff. Let's talk about Jerry McNamara and Syracuse, because I got to do it.
I like that hire. I
wasn't surprised. Let's put it that way.
No, not at all.
You could see that pathway when Adrian Autry was on the way out after 3 years. He didn't get it done. People were calling for his head for a long time, and maybe they didn't give him a chance, but things were going south quick, and it just wasn't going to go forward. And I think that maybe Syracuse saw that path with Jerry McNamara and said, if it's going to be any time, it's going to be this year.
There are two things. One is, there's a cliche in sports. You never want to be the guy who follows the guy.
But that is true.
But it's okay being the guy who followed the guy who followed the guy.
Right. You're never going to replace Jim Boeheim.
No.
Strangely enough, Jim Boeheim coached both of those guys.
And Jerry was on Boeheim's bench as an assistant for 15 years.
Yeah.
But from 20,000 feet where I view this stuff, I don't like the hire, in the sense that I wanted Syracuse to go outside of La Familia.
Yeah.
I wanted them to change. Mm-hmm. I wanted somebody different. Having said that, if you're going inside the Syracuse family, you can't do better than GMAC.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought what he did the last 2 years at Siena, spectacular job.
Yep, and that was his resume.
Yeah.
That was his proving his calling card
and
to
get into that job. And I believe with every fiber of my being that if it was not Syracuse, he's still at Siena for next year.
Probably.
He's not, because...
Even Boeheim said he was the best choice available. I mean, out of all the coaches that Syracuse could have brought in, of course, Boeheim's probably a little
He's more than a little biased, and I'm not sure that's right.
That's a good endorsement, though.
It's a really good endorsement, but I think of, you know, I think keeping if you're keeping it in the family, and like I said, I wasn't a big fan of that. Having said that, you can't do any better than him. He's going to bring most of his staff with him from Siena. Mm. And Gavin Doty, who was Siena's best player, went into the portal like the day after the day after Syracuse announced the hire.
Interesting.
And I don't think there's any doubt that he's gonna end up at Syracuse. Uh-huh. And a couple of Siena's really good recruits, and McNamara had a really good recruiting class.
Mm. I guess the big question,
I think they're going to end up at Syracuse also, excuse me.
Yeah, the big question, of course, is he going to be able to navigate the new landscape of college basketball?
Well, he's able to navigate that landscape at Siena.
And bring it back to Syracuse, which has not done very well in that landscape, let's say.
And that goes back to Boeheim's last few years also.
Yeah. He didn't fit in that new landscape.
No.
He was an old-time guy.
Which is interesting because we were talking briefly about some of the older coaches who are still alive in the tournament, and they have adjusted.
Yeah.
Calipari has adjusted.
Certainly.
Patino has certainly adjusted. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Izzo, not as much, but I think Michigan State's an outlier when it comes to, you know, to that. Mm. In general, it's always been, you know, a little bit different. But yeah, Boeheim didn't adjust to the new world of college sports. I think having Jerry McNamara there is going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
I think they will. You know, I think the ACC needs to worry. Maybe not next year, but within 2 or 3 years, I think Syracuse. You know, I think he has a chance to put Syracuse back in the mix.
Did I hear something about some major changes to conferences that could leave a team like Syracuse in the outs in terms of being sort of a big time player?
Oh, you always start to hear these. You know, is college are the colleges going to
be some super conferences?
Is there going to be
basically?
And maybe I think if they do that, it hurts the sport more than it helps. Because here's
Golden Goose again.
Yeah, and they're going to kill it because, you know, as we talked about, what are the best 2 days of the NCAA tournament?
Mm-hmm.
The first two.
Yeah.
What happens on the first two? Mid-majors, you know, rise up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to develop super conferences, those teams are going to get shut out of the NCAA tournament.
Mm.
So, you know, it would change everything.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I've been a big believer in that the NCAA, which has no power over football, by the way, because of a Supreme Court decision back in the early 1970s that broke up the NCAA monopoly of television. What I would do if I were the king of sports is I would.
There needs to be a king of sports.
There kind of does. But I would split football and the other sports.
Mm.
Football, it doesn't matter what a league looks like, because every FBS school, whether you are Boston College or UMass or Syracuse or Alabama, you get on an airplane Friday, you fly somewhere, you come home Saturday night on that same airplane.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe in is let football be football. And for every other sport, we go back to the old days when everything was regional.
Yeah.
Because I think it's ludicrous that the Oregon baseball team has to go and play, you know, has to go play a weekend series, you know, in Michigan.
And Big East basketball was a special thing back then.
Well, all of them, you know, the old ACC was a special thing.
Yeah.
You know, and
when it was a regional, Southeast,
and
conference.
We can do that, and it would save everybody money, because you know, the Duke baseball team wouldn't have to travel to Boston, you know, for anything, or, you know, in a middle-of-the-week games where you're taking 2 days off.
And some of those rivalries have not developed the way that they used to when they were regional, right?
But football, as I said, is different because everybody's doing the same thing, you know. And it's okay to have a league where Boston College is in the same league with USC, for example. Because BC's getting on the plane at Hanscom on Friday afternoon, flying across country and coming back.
Right. Howard Herman, we had a great time here, and time went too fast, as it always does. Thanks for joining us, and we'll have you back real soon. Enjoy all these games
that are happening. Great to be here, as always.
Good articles in the paper today. Pick up a copy of the Berkshire Eagle and take a look at what Howard wrote about UMass and about Drury baseball. All right. Have a good day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Kathy Moody, Ward 7, will be on the show tomorrow with me here live in the studio. Take care.
Drive where you want to go. I'll head to...